Arenado, a drive, deep left, 3-0 St. Louis. That's how you start it. And some emotion from the Cardinal third baseman. 3-0 Redbirds on number 7 from Nolan Arenado.
Well, if you're fortunate enough to be one of the 12,744 people in attendance, but if you got there late, maybe you missed that. And you could have just turned around and went back to your car, and there was really no need for you to attend the game yesterday. As the Royals game got moved up to 12-10 against the Cardinals, Chris Bubich didn't get that memo. His game was not ready to go at 12-10. He lasted about 5 minutes, if that, as the Royals lose yesterday 10-0 to the Cardinals. Chris Bubich, not good, to say the least. He has now pitched 12 1/3 this year. He has allowed 18 runs, 18 hits, 11 walks. He struck out just 8 in 5 starts. His ERA is 13.14. Royals offense had just 4 hits in the loss. And the Royals are down 5-0, and Bubich lasted 1/3 of an inning. That's right, he got one out yesterday and threw just 24 pitches. The Royals are 8-15 on the season. They have today off, thank God, before starting a 3-game series with the Orioles in Baltimore coming up tomorrow. The Royals offense shut out for the third time in 5 games. Bobby Witt Jr.'s hit streak ends at 11. Is there any good news at all? Here's Mike Matheny on Chris Bubich's struggles and the early exit.
Puts you in a bad spot to get to the middle of their order. You're going to give up homers. It's going to happen. But three bases in front of them going to add up. Coming off a good win yesterday, and need our starting pitching, and he's got to find it quicker. And we had some arms in the bullpen that are rested, so we're going to take our best shot.
So the Royals lose 10-0. MJ Melendez caught his first game, and that did not go well at all, obviously, giving up 5 runs in the first inning when he was catcher with Bubich. Carlos Santana, not the musician, but the baseball player, is on the injured list, and I think the musician is hitting just as well as Carlos is this year. He's on the IL. We'll tell you who replaced Carlos Santana in the lineup yesterday, and it's the obvious, obvious hot-hitting person that we'll tell you about coming up in a little bit that still has me scratching my head. So many things that have me scratching my head about the Royals right now, and we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But Dusty is back. He has got to pose with a whole bunch of wax-like figures that I saw posting online. Neve Campbell, Skeet Ulrich, Jamie Kennedy, all these people from Scream that look a little bit older than when I remember watching them growing up. Neve Campbell has always been one of my favorites because she was on Party of Five, and I loved watching that show. I watched that in college, and she was really good in that show. And, of course, she's been in many other things, but Dusty's favorite movie, Scream. But I almost put a comment, and I said, that is an amazingly lifelike, wax-like figure that you pose with Neve Campbell, which I know was one of, if not your biggest highlight. Of course, the biggest highlight was getting to use your coupon for free breakfast or whatever it was that I gave you for Whataburger. I know that's the ultimate highlight, but Dusty is back from his fright-filled trip to where was it?
It was Dallas. Texas Frightmare Weekend. Yeah.
You know Frightmare? You know what Frightmare is? It's the traffic.
Yeah.
And the roads on the way down there. Horrible.
Well, here's the thing. I was telling Jason, I was like, it was a lot easier to actually get around in Dallas than I anticipated it would be. I wasn't there during rush hour
or anything like that.
And so I was kind of able to avoid that. But yeah, it's funny you mentioned that coupon because I had to leave very, 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 very early. Like, I was leaving when most people are going to bed, right, on Saturday morning. We'll say I left at midnight,
right?
So
you'd argue you're leaving really, really late or really, really early.
Yeah, I left at midnight.
Yes.
Okay, so I got to Edmond, Oklahoma about 5 a.m., and I definitely used one of your coupons for the breakfast on bun to keep me awake because I needed food in my system. So, yeah.
Awesome. Glad they panned out.
I was like, I'm glad I got this because I got a couple sandwiches I can eat keep me awake here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just say I didn't get a lot of sleep before leaving to go down to Dallas. So, but I needed to be there at a decent time because I had to get a wristband and I didn't want to miss out on lines and things like that. And because it had already started on Friday. So, but yeah, it was a great time. And that's the easiest way you can tell they're not wax figures, right? Is because they're a lot older than they were.
Well, you can make a wax like figure look older.
I don't know if you'd want to do that with an. I don't know if
did you pinch any of them just to make sure they're real? Yeah.
Man, I don't know if
he thought about it.
I don't know if Neve Campbell would want to have a wax like figure created of her at this age. you know.
Or what are you trying to
Jamie
say? She's
Kennedy,
ugly?
No, I'm saying that it's just, you know, you don't do that.
Sure,
Jamie Kennedy definitely doesn't want a wax-like figure at this age. No, but it was wild, though. I mean, because it is, it's I mean, I started watching that movie when it came out in 1996, and we talked about it the other day, like how many times, or like, what's your favorite movie? And then somebody had asked how many times, I guess that was part of the question too, how many times that you'd seen it. And I'm like, at least two times a year if I'm being generous. And I was watching it every week in high school at one point. And so it's like, to see these people, even though they are older, they look a little bit different. Nev Campbell's been in every movie since then. So there was a new Scream that came out and she was in that. So she looks exactly right now like she looks in the new Scream, right? So it's not as if they're not still doing things and still in stuff. But it, from 1996, yeah, they're definitely older. We were actually looking at up, and Skeet Ulrich is 52, Jamie Kennedy's 51. Skeet doesn't look even 52, I don't think.
Yeah.
But Nev's 47, 48, I believe.
48.
I couldn't
she's from
well.
Canada too.
Yeah, she's from Canada, and but yeah, so it is a very surreal experience. I got used to it on Saturday by meeting Skeet Ulrich first, right? And then took the picture on Sunday with Nev, and so you're kind of, I'd already seen her on Saturday. I didn't get in her line to get an autograph or anything like that, but I was prepared, I guess, a little bit more for that picture on Sunday. And to have like the pat on the back after I left, that's what made it feel real, right? Like I didn't have to pinch her. She patted me on the back after I left.
On the butt would have been really funny.
Yeah, I know. But yeah.
Hey there.
But yeah, it
I've
was.
I've been divorced twice.
It was. Hey. It was pretty,
she
it
has was, been.
Yeah.
She's got a partner now, though.
Yeah. It was pretty wild and a great experience just to be able to do that. Once in a lifetime deal, I think, for me, obviously. And
what was it called? Frightmare?
Frightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There was a lot of people there?
No. Yeah. It was insane.
Yeah. Is it just for Scream or is it other movies?
No, it was all kinds of horror movies. Like the person that plays the main character in Nightmare on Elm Street was there. Freddy Krueger was actually there. Robert Englund was there.
Well, that wouldn't give me nightmares at all.
I wasn't going to spend money on Robert Englund's stuff because it was pretty high priced. Mm-hmm. And I never actually even saw him because he was kind of in a different area with a long, long line that you really couldn't get into his booth and see him in the whole area there like you could everybody else. Matthew Lillard had a really, really long line, so he was the only one I didn't actually get to personally meet from the screencast that was there. But, man, it was loaded. Like, the whole cast of Dream Warriors, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 was there. Like, there was a lot of people there. Carl Weathers was there. I don't know if you remember Happy Gilmore, right?
I remember Rocky. Predator, right? That's what he's Rocky. Known more yeah. for is Rocky.
And Predator and Rocky are what he's known for, right?
Yeah.
And he was there, and just a large group of people that were there.
Well, you should have asked if Nev Campbell could just give you some money, because she made $1.5 million for the first Scream movie, then she made $3.5 for Scream 2, $4.4 million for Scream 3. So she did all right just with that movie, and now she's kind of a guest star on shows and so forth and so on. So
yeah, she had a recurring role in House of Cards.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. So she played the role of Julia on Party of Five, Sydney, of course, and Scream. All right, well, glad you had a safe trip and enjoyed yourself down there.
Yeah.
And and now he's back to work, and Jason and I are heading out. So, yeah, and enjoy. Okay, let's go local sports, and we got Athlete of the Week, a well-deserving Athlete of the Week, in local sports with Dusty.
Yes, Chloe Odell, Bullitt Jr., has been named our NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Been nearly unhittable this season on the mound for the 11-3 Lady Trojan softball team. Last Thursday, she had her biggest moment of the season, pitching a perfect game in a 5-0 win over Sylvan Lucas Lincoln in Beloit. Retired all 21 batters, with 14 of the outs coming by way of the strikeout. In 7 starts, Odell has 4 shutouts, 3 no-hitters. She's pitched 37 innings with a .19 ERA. Team high 68 strikeouts has helped Bullitt to an 8-0 record in the NCAA so far. She's also found success at the plate this season, hitting .468 with 18 runs scored. And she has added a home run, a triple, and 3 doubles hitting this year for Bullitt. So, again, congratulations to Chloe Odell, Bullitt Jr., our NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. High school sports coming up today on the schedule right now for today is the Ellsworth Golf Invitational, 3 o'clock this afternoon. Beloit competing in that one. Smith Center's the Heston Invitational. That starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Also, the Riley County Invitational has been postponed to Monday, May 16th. That was scheduled for today. Course isn't in the shape to be able to do that here today with the Sand Greens course, so they've moved that to Monday, May 16th. Had a host of area schools competing in that. You can check out all the area schedules at ncksports.com. High school baseball and softball today. Lincoln Sylvan Lucas at Ellenwood, or Sylvan Lucas Lincoln at Ellenwood and softball. Those both start at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and both Concordia baseball and softball hosting Marysville at 4:30 this afternoon. So that's a look at what's going on in local sports here today. Again, all the latest at ncksports.com.
You know, since we're talking about actors and actresses and everything, I just received an alert. I have no idea why, because I don't watch the show, never have watched the show. But if you are a soap opera star, Steve Burton and his pregnant wife, Sherry Burton, are separating after 23 years of marriage, and she is pregnant right now. Okay. The former General Hospital star revealed in his Instagram story that he and the fitness pro are no longer together. He says, "I want to clear something up. Sherry and I are separated." Okay, well, it happens all the time. No problem. The 51-year-old actor continued. She recently announced that she's expecting her fourth child, but the child is not mine. Okay.
What are we taking, soap opera plots into real life?
Well,
here?
Apparently
what do we got going
so.
On? Come on.
Yeah, so I don't know anything about those people, but that's an interesting one. Here's why I'm separating. I know it looks bad because I'm leaving my pregnant wife, but the kid isn't mine. Oh, well, then you know what? I think you're cool.
I bet it's his brother who was in a coma for 2
years. Oh, yes. More than likely, that's true.
Yeah,
I think so. I like that. It's probably somebody that had died twice previously on the show but came back to life, which is amazing. It's amazing how that happens in all those shows. I remember Dallas was one of the best ones when Patrick Duffy came back, Bobby Ewing. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, he was dead. No, you're never dead in a soap opera.
No.
You're never officially dead. It all could be a dream sequence for all you know, and you've been fooled all this time. Speaking of death, this is a great show. Speaking of death, I finished Ozark. And
I watched the first 2 episodes of the new
one. So you got 5 more to go.
Yeah.
You got 5 more to go. And I think
I'm going to start it this weekend.
You're going to start the whole thing?
Yeah.
So Jason's assignment for this weekend, should he accept it, is to watch all 4 seasons of Ozark between now and Monday morning on the sports ticket so we can talk about it.
The only possible way you can do that is if you do it like I do and watch it on your phone and watch it 1.5 times to get through it a little bit faster. I don't even think you could do that.
Nah, that's a lot. That's a lot of binge
done
watching.
Anything that fast. I got through the second season of Ted Lasso pretty quick here recently, but not... It took more than a weekend.
I ain't gonna lie to you. The last 7 episodes of Ozark on Netflix came out on Friday, and I didn't have time to watch Friday. Sunday, I think I watched the first episode. Today is Thursday. I'm done because on Tuesday night, I was watching after NBA playoff game, and I started watching an episode at 10. And I went to bed at 2:30 in the morning because I couldn't put it down. So I watched like 3 episodes, and then I had only the series finale left to watch, and I watched that yesterday. And then I had to watch the 30-minute reflection of the show and everything that they put together. And let me tell you something. That's not one for the kiddos to watch, that's for sure.
No.
But I would like to – you know, some of these shows, you're starting to go, how many people died over the years, like in the show, because somebody dies in every single show in Ozark, I swear. So anyway, I've got that done. We were talking about TV, actors, actresses, so forth and so on. John says Skeet Ulrich was in Weekend at Bernie's.
Had been really, really young.
Skeet, first of all, that is that his real name? I'm going to say no.
I'm not.
No, his real name is Brian Ray Trout. How boring is that?
Yeah.
Skeet Ulrich. Like, how do you come up with that one? Let me see his Wikipedia here, because Wikipedia gives you everything. Everybody knows that. He was in Weekend in Bernie's in 1989. Well done, John. He knows what he's talking about.
Wow.
Yeah, Weekend in Bernie's, 1989. Skeet Ulrich was in that. And now he is 73 years old.
Bernie was robbed of best actor in that movie.
Yes, he was. He did a great job being a stiff. Oh my. All right, so let's shift now into the Royals. Do we have to? Yes, we do. It's part of our job here with the sports ticket. I did think about coming up with a cool little segment we could do on the show every day during baseball season, and maybe it'd make us feel better about the Royals. And I don't even know how this team is doing, but I'm going to pull it up here anyway because I'm very curious, and I think it'd be a really cool segment, and it could be very short and sweet. I haven't even run this by Jason yet, but it could be Cubs update brought to you by Jason Broadfoot.
There we go.
And we just go to Jason, and Jason says, Cubs lose. This has been a Cubs update with Jason Broadfoot. And if they win, he can be excited. Cubs win! Yeah, this has been I'm a Cubs good, update good. Brought to you by...
I don't even know what they did yesterday.
You don't know what they did yesterday? More than likely they lost. But let me see how the Cubbies are doing, because I think that'd be a cool segment and really reflect or deflect off of the Kansas City Royals. The Cubs, oh my gosh, the Cubs are half a game better than the Royals. So the Royals aren't the only horrible team in baseball. The Cubs are 9-15. They've lost 7 of the last 10. And they lost their last two. But guess what? Guess what? Looks like they get to play the Reds coming up. And the Reds are horrible.
Well, we thought that about the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then we lost 3 out of 4.
Okay,
but but the one game they won was 21-0 or something like that. So,
that means that gives you extra wins. Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
no doubt. The Cubs lost to the White Sox, even worse to the in town rival, 4-3 yesterday. Don't worry, Cubs are just setting them up. You got them right where they want them. All right, so do the Royals. Let's talk Royals. Chris Bubich struggled yesterday. We know that. And it seems like every start he has, the game's over after the first inning, which is just demoralizing, not only to a fan base for that particular day in a game and fans in attendance. It's also demoralizing to your own team. It's demoralizing to your manager. You heard Mike Matheny. It's like, dude, what do we do? I mean, the guy pitched well in spring training. We're lengthening out Braden Singer in the minors, which I still never understood why Singer was in this rotation instead of Bubich myself. But apparently spring training, Bubich won the job. Okay, fine. And Bubich is just lost right now. Now, will he figure it out? Yeah, he possibly could. And I still think he's a guy that's a lot better in middle long relief. And he's proven that in his career. And Singer, still, if he could develop a third pitch, could be a bona fide starter in this league. So there's no reason to give up on Brady Singer. He's still very, very young. He's in Omaha right now. But if you want to, as a Royals fan, if you want to blame everything on Mike Matheny, if you want to blame everything on Dayton Moore, and Dayton Moore's not even the GM anymore, by the way, it's J.J. Piccolo, but people forget that. If you want to blame ownership, you want to blame Chris Bubich, you want to blame the pitching coach, Cal Eldred, you can blame everybody you want. But here's the fact of the matter. There isn't just one problem with this baseball team right now. I'll give you the pros that the Royals have going for them right now. I'll start with the positive, right? You want the good news or the bad news first? Well, let's go with the good news. Daniel Lynch has been pretty solid recently. Keller's been fantastic. Greinke's been fantastic and has no run support. Their top three starters have been very good. After Lynch's first start of the year, been all very, very good. Hernandez has been up and down. Bubich has been horrible. So there's problems in the 4 and 5 spot. But the top three spots actually have been pretty solid. The bullpen, for the most part, has been pretty solid this year. So the pitching really isn't as big an issue as some people may have thought because the top three starters doing their job. Bullpen's been decent. The 4 and 5 starters have not been good. The 5th starter, Bubich, has been horrible, as we established. Defensively, this team is very good. It's one of the best defensive teams in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we talked about and we joked about at spring training when the Royals were scoring 15 and 19 and 12 runs and 50 runs in 3 days or whatever it was that this offense will probably go to sleep come April. And here we are. And this Royals offense has gone asleep. I know they had 15 hits and they won the game before yesterday. That is a rarity. And if you want to sit here and blame one person, you are completely you can do that. But you're not being fair to the rest of people you should start blaming. First of all, the manager, the pitching coach, the GM, the president of baseball operations, the owner can't play for the players. They can't do that. Now, can a coach somebody up? Yes, you would like the pitching staff, the young guys, to develop more, and that is a strike on the record of Cal Eldred, pitching coach for Royals. No question. I understand people wanting him out. I get it. Mike Matheny's not going anywhere, whether you like it or not. And I know some people don't like things he does with this bullpen and bringing this guy in. That happens with every manager. It happened with Ned Yost, and all he did is go to 2 World Series. So it happens. Not going to get worried about that. But listen, the Royals right now, offensively, their 2 best players are a guy that they kept shipping to Omaha back and forth last year every other day, and Andrew Benintendi. That's their 2 best offensive players right now. And it's not even close. Those are their 2 best offensive players. Now, wait a minute. I thought Bobby Witt Jr. is supposed to be a star. Don't worry about Bobby Witt Jr. No need to blame him. He's starting to figure some things out. First home run the other day, 11-game hitting streak. His defense has been phenomenal. He's not letting struggles at the plate affect him defensively. That's a good sign of maturity. He's 21. He'll be fine. So Bobby Witt Jr. is not the problem. But there are problems with this team, and most of it is on the offense. The Royals are paying a lot of money for some guys that have flat out not figured it out yet this year. And one of the poster child or poster men or whatever you want to call it that is gaining some steam in regards to a guy that's being said, well, we should have traded him when we should have traded him and we should have not kept him and we did this and did that, is Whit Merrifield. But Whit's not the only problem. I love Whit Merrifield, but he's not performing. Let's start with Whit, though. Whit Merrifield is batting 151. We have played 23 games, okay, which is a seventh of the season. That's an eighth of the season, I guess, all right? So it's about 12.5% of the season is in the books already. Dayton Moore has always said that 40 games kind of gives you a barometer where you're at. So the Royals will play 23, and to get to the 500 mark, at the 40-game mark, they would have to play seven over, obviously, and that's not probably going to happen. So they're going to have a losing record after 40 games. How bad? Could be really bad. Could be close to 500. Who knows? Whit Merrifield has batted leadoff for the last 3 years. He's now not batting leadoff. They put him in the two hole. Then now he's hitting fifth yesterday. Whit Merrifield is batting 151. Three doubles, 11 singles. He has only three doubles and 11 singles. Five RBI, but he's only scored four times in 23 games. Listen, you wonder why the offense struggles? If Whit Merrifield's not getting on base, this team's going to struggle. Salvador Perez should not be excused either. These guys are making the most money on the team. Now we go back to the Chiefs. Well, Chris Jones and Frank Clark, why are you so hard on them? Because they're getting paid a ton of money to perform on defense, and they're not doing it. Well, the Royals, two of their highest-paid players right now, are not getting it done. Well, Salvi has five home runs, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Salvi has five home runs, nine RBIs. He's batting 167, and I know batting average isn't what it's all about, but if you're hitting 167 or 151, that's horrible. It means you're not getting on base. Salvi doesn't walk. We know that. But here's the other thing. Why does Salvi get a pass? Because everybody loves Salvi. I get that. I love Salvi, too. Salvi still plays Gold Glove catcher. Right now, through 23 games, Salvador Perez, you know how many times he struck out in 95 plate appearances? Which means he doesn't put the ball in play.
15.
30.
I had no idea.
He's striking out 33% of the time.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's not good at all. Now, you want to pick on the manager? Yeah, let's pick on the manager. I'm cool with that. That's always the easy thing to do, right, is pick on the manager. But in this case, I think it is probably fair. So Carlos Santana goes on the injured list, and the Royals, what do they end up doing? Like, who would you think, Dusty, would be playing first base when Santana goes down? When he's on the IL, who would you probably put into the lineup?
Like Dozier?
Yeah, you put in Dozier first, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dozier's got a decent bat, although he struggled last year. But he's proven 28 homers, 84 RBIs 1 year, got a four-year extension. The other day he didn't play because it was a right-handed pitcher. That was the theory. Which I'm like, why did you pay a guy to be a platoon guy and pay all this money if he's not going to hit both righties and lefties? I don't understand. So here's the problem I have with Mike Matheny. And granted, there's many problems. It's not just Mike Matheny, but this one makes me scratch my head. So Carlos Santana has a late scratch the other night. And Matheny apparently is too lazy to rework the lineup. So, and he had Santana apparently in the cleanup spot, apparently, which why? He's hitting like 100, but okay. And he doesn't put Dozier in the lineup because of the righty-lefty matchup. He puts Ryan O'Hearn at first. And Ryan O'Hearn then bats cleanup. And yesterday, Hunter Dozier once again, now maybe he's banged up and I'm not aware of it, but he did come in the pinch hit and got a base hit yesterday. Mm-hmm. Hunter Dozier did not start again for the second straight game. And guess who was playing first base?
Was O'Hearn.
Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah.
Guess where he was batting in the lineup?
Cleanup.
Yes. Do you want to take a guess on Ryan O'Hearn's batting average right now?
Is it even 100?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
.077. In fairness, he's only had 13 at-bats. He has one hit, a single. I've never understood Ryan O'Hearn's love affair that the Royals brass has for this guy, because he wouldn't make it on a lot of teams. And it's one thing that Ryan O'Hearn's plugged into the lineup. Batting cleanup? Like, come on, man. Here's the lineup yesterday. Olivares was batting leadoff because the Royals don't have a leadoff guy. Benintendi batting second. That makes sense. So I'm okay. Olivares is a hot batter right now. And in Benintendi, too, I have no problem with. Salvi's hitting three. Fine. He was a DH yesterday. Salvi, even though he's hitting 167, home run pop. You want your best power hitter in the three or four spot. I'm cool with that. And then in the four spot, he's got Ryan O'Hearn. Then fifth is Merrifield, which I'm not fully sold on why Witt's at the five spot. Six is Bobby Witt. MJ Melinda, seven. Michael Taylor, eight. Nicky Lopez, nine. Now, I know that Taylor, Melendez, and Lopez, and even Merrifield aren't going to bat cleanup. So you're going to say, well, then it only leaves Bobby Witt Jr. or O'Hearn. Well, let me tell you something about batting orders, ladies and gentlemen. And I've filled these out a few times over the years. And I know it's more complicated, or maybe it's not. And big league managers make it more complicated with analytics. And I think that's blurring the vision of some managers. You want your best players to hit as many times as possible. It's as simple as that. Who do you think's a better hitter, Bobby Witt Jr. or Ryan O'Hearn?
I mean, it's not even a question. It's Bobby Witt Jr.
So why would you have Bobby Witt Jr. batting sixth and Ryan O'Hearn fourth?
The argument is going to be not to put Witt up in the top of the order this quick to relieve some pressure, but it's not an everyday thing. It's
look at this lineup. The guys with the most power, the first guy that has the most power is Salvi. The second guy that has the most power in this lineup is either Witt Jr. or Melendez, and Melendez just got called up. The other, you know who has got the second most power? And they don't even start in the last two games. It's Hunter Dozier.
Yeah.
So Dozier to me should be in the cleanup spot over O'Hearn if you're going to start him. I know there's not lots of options, but if we're sitting here talking about protecting Bobby Witt Jr., then why has he batted in the two-hole a little bit this year?
Why did he start in the two-hole?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I actually give him a taste there. I mean, he doesn't have to be every day. This lineup's not going to be every day. You're going to change it up a little bit. I don't know what you're going to do with MJ Melendez once Santana's healed. If you're going to keep him around, I don't know what they're going to do there, but
let's forget Santana. Let's just focus on the guys that are available right now. Why would you put a guy hitting 0.77
There's no sense
as your cleanup hitter when you have at least one or two other guys, definitely at least one, two if you count Dozier. Why is O'Hearn batting fourth?
I just don't even care about who else is available. Ryan O'Hearn should not be batting
cleanup for any team in Major League Baseball.
At all. Nicky Lopez could be a better cleanup hitter possibly than Ryan O'Hearn.
And Lopez has
I'm just saying, I don't want Ryan O'Hearn in that spot. He's not efficient at all.
No.
And so you're going to take a chance on the odd chance that he might hit a home run because he has more... Because he's known to have more power than Witt even right now, or Nicky Lopez, or Witt Merrifield, not Bobby Witt.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. And I would move Salvi to the cleanup and put Bobby Witt at three
before I would
put O'Hearn at cleanup.
Amen, brother.
With Salvi at three.
I totally agree.
And if you want to move O'Hearn back, put Witt at five and move O'Hearn to six. It doesn't seem that hard as I'm processing it in my mind to not have to have O'Hearn batting cleanup because that isn't what any Major League Baseball team would want.
No, and I know when people could argue, say, well, you got limited options here. Lopez, no. Taylor, no. Melinda just got called up. You don't want to put pressure on him being a cleanup spot. Whit Merrifield, he's not a cleanup hitter. Well, I never really wasn't a leadoff hitter either, but we did that for 3 years. Melinda's, no, of course. We don't want to put pressure on Bobby Witt Jr. And Olivares we put in the leadoff spot. Benintendi's hitting two. Listen, once again, I'm going to go back to the simple concept. And I think there's times where baseball makes things way too complicated. You want your best hitters at the top of your lineup. And here's the reason why. Because you want to, one, piece together some big innings. Okay. Two, you want your best hitters at the top of the lineup because they will hopefully get that extra at bat at the end of the game. I've seen it in lower level baseball where managers get all cute. Well, I want this guy in the four spot. I want some speed in the six spot. And there's some reasoning behind it. Don't get me wrong. But if you put one of your best players at the six spot because you just simply want speed at the bottom of your order, that's stupid. Because I saw a game where it came into a key situation and the kid was batting sixth. And we were thanking the Lord he was batting sixth because guess what? He was in the on-deck circle when the game ended.
Yeah.
But he should have been batting in the top three spots in the lineup. The coach got a little caught up in the, well, you know, I need speed at the bottom and the top. No, you don't. You don't. And by the way, speed don't mean much anymore in Major League Baseball because teams don't steal much anymore. You know who leads the you know how many stolen bases is the league leader as of yesterday? Nine.
I was going to say,
we played 23 games, nine stolen bases. That means a guy steals a base once every three games, one base. Ricky Henderson would steal three in like the first five innings. Willie Wilson would do the same thing. Lonnie Smith and others, if you remember those guys. So, I don't get it. There's another thing I don't get. We've talked about this before. Brady Singer's too talented for the bullpen. Then why in the hell was he in the bullpen to start the season in the first place? That makes no sense. And that's coming from Dayton Moore, who I highly respect. That's won a World Series championship. Now, I start to wonder, was he just lucky? Did he get lucky when he got, you know, Edison Volquez? Did he get lucky Chris Young pitched out of his mind a couple times? Did he get lucky at Johnny Cueto pitched two of his best games in the playoffs after being horrible in the regular season? You know, I don't know. Did he get lucky? Probably not. That's unfair to Dayton Moore. But ever since they won the World Series in 15, he hasn't had a lot of bang-up pickups. He hasn't. And I do know that I think his hands are tied a little bit now with the new ownership because they're not wanting to spend as much as the glasses were there for a while. Now, the glasses were tight before the Royals got to be, you know, really good. Mm-hmm. We know that. But I don't understand what the Royals are doing with some of these younger players, and this worries me because I hear a lot of people say, well, just play all the young players. You know what? I'm okay with Nick Prado coming up, and I know it's service time. People are talking about, well, service time. Well, if it's about service time, Bobby Witt Jr. should have kept him in the minors. Because is he really helping? 8-15. He's not helping this team win. But they're 8-15 with Bobby Witt Jr. I'm not knocking Bobby Witt Jr., but the service time right now is being wasted.
Yeah.
Okay? So, well, he's too talented to stay in the minors. Well, Brady Singer's too talented to be in the minors, too, I would argue right now. But you have him in the bullpen. He's too talented in the bullpen, so you get the minors because you got to stretch him out. It's like, why wouldn't he stretch out to start the year? I don't get it. But Chris Bubich was, but he wasn't, obviously, looking at what he's done. So I'm really confused with the direction the Royals are going here. I don't understand some of the things they're doing at all. I'm completely perplexed. The little bit of hair I have on my head, I'm starting to pull out. Because I cannot explain to anybody why Ryan O'Hearn is batting cleanup back-to-back games. And I cannot explain why a guy hitting 0-7-7 with one hit and 13 at-bats is batting cleanup and playing first base. I cannot explain it. And you can sit here and you can tell me all you want about we don't want to put too much pressure on Bobby Witt Jr. You don't think there's pressure when he was on the open day roster and he's a top minor league baseball prospect in all of baseball? He's already got pressure. He's got tons of pressure.
And he's responded to it.
And
like,
he has.
I ain't worried about Bobby
Witt. I'm not either.
You can put him in any spot and I don't. I'm not.
I would bat him leadoff. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd bat him leadoff. Yeah. And here's why I'd bat him leadoff. Because he can beat out a regular ground ball. He has amazing speed.
Oh, yeah.
I would put him at leadoff and spark and try to create a spark. And if you're sitting there and go, well, he's a home run hitter. You don't put him at the one spot. He's hit one homer in 23 games. He's not a home run hitter yet at the big league level. Put him at the one spot. See what happens. Maybe a spark. I think he could handle it.
Yeah, I don't.
Batting leadoff one time in a game because technically many times you won't be the leadoff guy in any other inning. Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. You're talking about the first inning of a game. If Bobby Witt can't handle the pressure of being a leadoff batter or betting cleanup, then we got a problem.
Yeah. Protecting Bobby Witt Jr. is nothing that should be even going through Mike Matheny's mind right now.
No.
The way he's performed, the way he's played, everything that he's done in his career to this point right now. And I know it's a very small sample size in the majors, but everything else that, on the path, how quick he got here to this point, on the path that he's gone through his career and what you know he is, putting too much pressure on Bobby, a guy that grew up in a major league locker room, putting too much pressure on Bobby Witt Jr. is not even in my mind right now. It's nothing that I'm thinking of. I don't care where he's at. I think I'd be more worried about what position he's playing in the field than I would be where he is in the lineup. I don't buy that right now.
I don't either. I think it's a cop out.
You need to go out and perform, and you need to put the best possible lineup out there to win games right now.
Right now, you're 8-15.
That's what you're trying to do. Mike Matheny saying yesterday in his press conference, we're trying to win. You know,
then why is Witt Jr. hitting sixth?
Why are you doing this then? Why are you having Ryan O'Hearn batting cleanup if you are actively saying you're trying to win? That's not trying to win games.
No, it's not. And that's so there's my contention with the manager. Unless somebody higher up's telling him you got to play Ryan O'Hearn because he knows the general manager had an affair with somebody. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is way better hitter than Ryan O'Hearn. It's not even close. And Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting sixth. I don't get it. I truly don't get it. If you want to win games, play your best players, put them at the top of the order and roll. That's to me, it's very simple. Olivares, Benintendi, and I agree with you. I'd put Witt Jr. in the three hole, at least, if not leadoff. Yeah. I would bat him in the three hole, and I had Perez at four, and then Witt at five, and O'Hearn. I'd definitely have O'Hearn hitting sixth or lower.
Oh, yeah.
And he's batting cleanup. It's a joke. It's ridiculous. I mean, the Royals have to have the worst cleanup hitter in all baseball. I guarantee you they do.
Oh, it's the last couple days they do. There's no question.
Now, if you think things are bad.
I don't know who else the other cleanup hitters are, but he can't be any better.
No. You think things are bad for the Royals. The Milwaukee Brewers pulverized the Cincinnati Reds 18-4 last night. The win lifted the first-place Brewers 17-8 on the season. But get this. The Reds now are 13.5 games out of first, and they've only played 24 games. The Reds are 3-21. They are the third team in the modern era since 1900 to lose 21 of their first 24 games of the season, and the Reds' 12-game road losing streak is the team's longest since 1945. So you think things are bad with the Royals right now? The Reds say, hold my beer. By the way, speaking of a team that's really good, the Yankees, of course, swept the Royals recently. Their 11-game winning streak came to an end last night to the Blue Jays, 2-1. So yesterday, Dusty, you were gone. Jess and I discussed this. The Big Ten is negotiating a new media rights deal with various entities, including all the major networks for the most part, and Amazon and Apple are at the table. And we were talking, and I mentioned it, that you and I, Dusty, we talked about this years ago, about how this is where it was going with sports viewing. You're going to have to pay subscriber fees. People don't like subscriber fees, but you're going to have to pay them if you want to watch your teams play. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's already happening. And if you're really going to, you know, scream at the rooftops of how unfair it is, but yet you still subscribe, then you're talking the talk, but you don't walk the walk. You really... Go ahead, stand up, be a man or a woman, and say, I'm not going to pay this, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. And then if you want to really make some headway, get people united to boycott whatever it may be, okay? So, interestingly enough, Jason and I were talking about this yesterday, and then this story came out yesterday after our show. Of course, it always comes out after the show. Bally Sports is owned by the Sinclair Broadcast Group. Bally Sports took over, remember, it was Fox Sports Midwest. And so it's Bally Sports Kansas City. That what was that? A couple years ago? Last year? Was it first year last year or the year before?
Bally Sports. I think it was last year. Yeah.
I think it was. Anyway, people that are on various internet providers like a Sling or a Hulu or others, or maybe even YouTube, I don't know all of them, but they don't get Royals games. There's no agreements between the Sinclair Broadcast Group, Bally Sports, and those entities. Most of the cable providers have the Royals, although not all. Believe it or not, which is pathetic for Major League Baseball. So another strike against Major League Baseball, another problem for the Royals as well. And so here's a story in the KC Star, I believe it is. When Bally Sports Kansas City inadvertently cut away from last week's Royals-White Sox game, many fans were upset. Others reiterated their frustration with not being able to watch any Royals games at all. The latter group is cord cutters who can't stream the Royals games on the Bally Sports KC app because they no longer have a cable subscription. At this time, the lone option is DirecTV Stream, which offers a variety of channels, including Bally Sports KC, but costs $89.99 a month. A new option could be available as soon as next month. Sinclair Broadcast Group, which owns Bally Sports Kansas City, has been planning a direct-to-consumer app that will allow fans to watch games without a cable subscription. Details about the app were shared by the CEO of Sinclair in an earnings report. The streamable, that's what it's called, thestreamable.com said the app will be called Bally Sports Plus and will cost $189.99 on an annual basis or $19.99 per month. By comparison, MLB TV costs $130 annually and single team subscriptions are available for $109.99, but blackout restrictions won't allow for Royals to watch games in Kansas City as well as a wide radius around the city. Sinclair owns 19 regional sports networks, including Bally Sports KC. It's going to roll out this app in 5 markets as part of a soft launch. Bally Sports Kansas City will be part of the soft launch, which will happen before the end of the second quarter. That ends June 30th, so Royals fans without cable will have a new option for watching games before the 4th of July if all goes as planned. So, you've saved money. You've gone with some kind of internet service. Maybe you don't have any TV. You're just like, I'm not going to spend $140 a month on DirecTV or whatever it might be, right? You're not doing the satellite stuff. You're not doing cable providers. You've cord cut. That's what you did. You're a cord cutter, which is fine. You've got other things you want to spend your money on. You decide this is at some point, just like the Chiefs at one point decided this is too much to pay Tyreek Hill. Consumers at some point say, you know what? Mm-hmm. This is crazy. My bill keeps going up. And I don't even get a warning it's going up. I know I dealt with that once before. And I'm paying how much more than when I first started with this company? And I have another option out there that can give me just as much as I had or more, and it's cheaper. Well, then I'm going to explore that option. And that's what people do. It's called choices. It's called free market. And that's fine. However, if you're a Royals fan, you're upset when you can't watch the Royals when you will with this other option. So you would like to have some other option available to you. Which, of course, if it's an app, you can watch wherever you are. You can just on your phone. That would be great. So for those people that whined about, one person whined to me one time about having to pay an access fee to watch an archive of a game that I streamed for a school when it's free for live streaming, but not, you can't do all this stuff with Major League Baseball for free. There's always a cost. I wonder what that person thinks about now. If they don't have the Royals on whatever package they have at home, and they're a Royals fan, what do you think about $189 a year to watch an 8-15 team play baseball? What about $20 a month? Yeah, you thought $6.99 for ESPN Plus was a horrible deal. That's actually a hell of a deal. You get a lot more for $6.99 a month. Well, but I got K-State and South Dakota State. I got to go pay $6.99 and watch that game. Well, you know that, or you could spend a couple hundred bucks and go to the game yourself. It's your call.
Yeah.
It's funny what we whine about in society today. You know, we freak out over stamps. It's ridiculous. Oh, stamps went up 2 cents. Oh, my God, how are we
going
to live?
Stamps are going
stamps?
Up.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem. That's the cause of inflation. But let me ask you, if you're a Royals fan out there, if you're listening to this show right now, or you're a Royals fan, Cubs fan, I don't care who you are, would you pay $190 a year? And remember, baseball's about, what, 6 months? April to through September, mm-hmm. 6 months. Would you pay $190 for a 6 month subscription? In essence, that's what you're doing. Or $20 a month to watch the Royals on your phone or whatever device it is, because right now you can't get them because you don't have cable anymore or you don't use DirecTV or Dish or wherever it might be.
If it's specifically Royals, my answer is definitely no.
Okay.
I didn't read all the way into this? Do you get all the Bally networks?
I would assume that you get all of the Bally Sports networks. The thing is, if you're a Royals fan, do you really care about any of the other networks?
Well, that's what I'm saying is if you've got to have, like for me, I'm going to use my fandom for instance, right?
Sure.
If I didn't, I already have Bally Sports on my cable package right now, so I don't need to pay for the Bally Sports Plus or whatever, unless it gets to that point where Bally's just not even on the cable package anymore for anybody, and then you have to pay for it. But the Spurs are on Bally Sports Southwest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I could watch the majority of their games on that as well, and that kind of fills in the rest of the year for me, right? Of the, you're only being able to watch baseball 6 months of the year,
right?
of this package. Now also, if you're a Thunder fan, that a lot of their games are on Bally Sports Midwest, you could watch those games if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
But let me stop you for a second, hold that thought. But see, that's the thing, every entity's different. People that have Hulu or Sling can get Oklahoma City Thunder basketball already. They don't need the Bally Sports Plus app.
Really?
Correct.
Even the games that are on Bally, you can get on Hulu. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that before, that mm-hmm. you could do that on any. If Bally's not on it, how is it on it?
I'm of telling course, you, OKC you get, Thunder basketball, last I checked, was there to watch.
Yeah. And you can get League Pass too for mm-hmm. NBA that
right.
would cover that, even no
and
matter
would probably
what channel
be
it's on. Right,
might be cheaper
and,
to do
yeah,
that.
And League Pass definitely be cheaper if that's the direction you wanted to go. If you weren't trying to watch the Royals, right. if you're only trying to watch an NBA team,
sure,
I would get League Pass before I would spend this on Bally Sports just to watch the Spurs. Right.
Listen, I'll tell you something. If you're a Royals, a Chiefs fan, and a Colorado Avalanche fan, then the app would be worth $190 a year because you have games you gotta, 12 months a year. But the thing is, if you're a Royals fan, you can get this other stuff in different ways. You can get OKC Thunder via a different app, and you can get the Avalanche already available to you on Altitude or whatever it might be. I don't think that exists anymore, but we get Avs games.
It actually does, I think. Altitude TV.
Okay, well, we get Avs games. We don't need no Bally Sports app. So those are my teams. There's only one team that I don't get that I want to watch. That's the Royals. Am I going to pay $190 just to watch the Royals, even though there's other stuff included?
Mm-hmm.
I get your point, but there are a lot of people that the only reason they would get it is to watch one particular team because they can get all the other teams.
Yeah, and the answer for me is no.
I agree.
Just the Royals, no, absolutely not. But
I agree with you.
If you
get a whole bunch more with it, then I would be for it.
And like right now, I don't think I could justify it for one team, even if that team was in the playoff hunt. I don't know.
I'd wait till the end of the year and pay $20 a month.
Could do that. Now maybe, you know, if you were married and had a dual income, maybe have a little more disposable income, and $189 isn't that big of a deal. But until that happens, probably not for me. I just don't see that being justifiable right now. But you never know. Like you said, if you get all the Bally's, that might, you know, I think that sways it a little bit, and I think you probably would, but yeah, I don't know. If I was just looking for a baseball team, I think I'd try something else, just your normal cable and get it that way or whatever it is. But
well, let's do some math here, okay? So let's say that you were a satellite subscriber, all right, DirecTV, and you paid $150 a month. And now you're on Sling or Hulu, and you're paying $70 a month, okay? So you're saving $80 a month, mm-hmm. and you're getting pretty much everything, the same stuff you already were getting, if not a little bit more, but you're not getting the Royals. You're saving $80 a month, so you could argue, rationalize, I'll spend $20 a month. I'm up to $90, but I still get my Royals, and I still save versus DirecTV or Dish Network. Yeah. You could use it that way. That's the way you could play it. Or you could also say, $20 a month or $190. Well, I just wiped out some of the savings, a lot of my savings that I saved by switching in the first place, all because I just want to watch the Royals. So once again, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make up your mind. And as I said yesterday, you can complain all you want about the subscriber fees. I don't like them either. But eventually, it's going to come down to whether or not you want it badly enough or not.
Oh, yeah. That's in that life, right? We all have to make choices. And you know, I saw a lot of people yesterday complaining about the price and things like
that,
which is right. You know, people are going to do that when that stuff gets released right away. But again, it's like, how bad do you want to watch your Royals? Are you willing to pay that or not? And if you're not, then you made the decision that you're not willing to pay it. It's just like ESPN Plus, right?
Yes.
If you're either willing to pay it or you're not. I know this is way more than ESPN Plus, but, you know, for me, it would be, if I would seriously consider it if I didn't have cable, because I know the Spurs, if I got the whole package, all the Bally Sports, I probably would do it, actually, if I didn't have cable and I was saving the money, mm-hmm. like you're talking about, I've shaved off the money.
Mm-hmm.
I would seriously think about it because I could watch the Royals and Spurs. But if it's just the Royals, probably not.
But let me ask you another thing, and I want to play kind of devil's advocate here. So the one person that, and he's a friend of mine, and if he's listening, he knows I'm talking about him, and I'm not trying to throw this person under the bus at all. I'm just trying to point out it's somewhat a hypocritical stance, or it's basically lumping everybody together, and I still, you know, to me, this something could have been discussed, you know, privately initially, and it wasn't. It was put out on a public forum that didn't need to be. But I understand why that person did that. They told me, they said, well, listen, I'm just fed up with subscriber fees. I get it. But let's not don't rip the local person when it's all these other people you're mad at.
Yeah.
You're throwing the local person under the bus when they don't even charge for live streaming. Good luck getting a whole bunch of live video streaming anywhere else. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Can't even get it from Keisha, for crying out loud.
No.
So, but let's go back to the cost, all right? So people immediately, I think this is interesting. People immediately see yesterday, and Jason said it was pretty funny. I texted yesterday you and Jason to fill in our listeners. Absolutely stunning that Chris Bubich would be down 5-0 after the fight, all for the low, low price of $189. And it just cracked me up. That was hilarious. But immediately what you do is you see the price tag, and you see $190, and you go, oh, my gosh, that's so expensive. or $20 a month. Well, geez, that's $20 a month. That's $240 a year. Do you complain? If you complain about subscriber fees so much, do you complain vehemently when you go to a Royals game and spend $15 to park your car, or a Chiefs game when you spend $40 to $60 for one game? All right? You go into a Royals game, you're going to spend, let's say a family of four, you're going to spend on the cheapest tickets, you're going to spend about probably $80, 20 per person, all right? There might be some nights where you get some cheaper tickets, but let's just, for math's sake, you got 80 bucks, you got 20 for parking, you're at 100. You with me? To go to one Royals game, you're at $100. 20 for parking, which it might be a little less, it might be 20 now, I don't know. 20 for parking, we're just talking Royals here. 20 for parking, you're paying 80 for four of the cheapest tickets you can get, 20 bucks a piece. Maybe you can get a little cheaper, but let's just go with it for math purposes. If you want something better, you're going to spend more. So now you're at $100. Once you're in the ballpark, are you going to just grab a cup from the concession stand and go fill water up out of the bathroom sink? Probably not. You're probably going to, many people, going to buy a $12 beer. All right, so you buy a $12 beer, and let's say you only drink one, and you go and you got the family of four, so they're gonna want Dippin' Dots, maybe. Mm-hmm. They're gonna want, I know this from experience. Yeah, I mean, maybe you haven't eaten, so you can get the chicken tenders and fry basket that does not come with a drink. The drink is $8, but ooh, you know, for an extra dollar, you can get the souvenir cup, but there's no refills. So now you've got a beer for yourself. Let's say dad wants a beer. There's 12. Keep adding this up in your head for it. Help me out here. So 100 plus the beer.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
112.
Okay. Let's add it up as we go. 112. Now we got to get a couple of pops. Maybe two kids can share a pop. Well, I'm looking at 16 bucks, 8 bucks a piece. 16. Where are we at now?
128.
128. My kids want Dippin' Dots. I got two kids. To be fair, I should get Dippin' Dots for both. That's, there's, I think, smalls for 5 and larges for 7 or 8. Let's just go ahead and say I get a small and a large. There's 12 more.
Yeah.
Where am I at? 140. I'm at 140. Okay. You know what? We need to get, I got to get through the game. I'm really hungry. I got to get the chicken tender and fry basket. You know what? I'll be cheap. My wife and I will share that. That's $12. Where I'm at now?
152.
152. Okay, now I go into the sports shop, and now my kid wants the Slugger mascot furry stuffed animal. And that's 20 bucks.
Yeah, 172.
Okay. All right, so let's just stop there. And you may spend more. You get 2-3 beers, you're over $189. But I just gave you a very plausible scenario where you're at 160 bucks. Do you complain that you had to spend 160 bucks going to one Royals game? Whereas here, you get $190 to watch 162 games of the Royals on any electronic device that you have. It's portable. And you're going to bitch and moan about 190 bucks, but you're not going to complain about spending $190 on four tickets to a Royals or a Chiefs game. Now, I understand the complaining. I do. But, well, that's an experience, Wade. I take the kids. It's a memory. It's an experience. Yeah, well, sitting at home, watching the game on the couch, talking baseball strategy with your son can be an experience, too.
Yeah.
Don't we lose track of what we complain about? Like, we don't whine about the Amazon Prime Video membership going up 20 bucks a month. I haven't seen people, I'm sure people whine about it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Locally in North Central Kansas, I don't see people going nuts on Facebook and Twitter, going nuts about $20 increase, which is a 20% increase. 20% increase. And instead, I see the same people, when gas goes up 10 cents a gallon, freak out. I see people, when stamps go up 3 cents, freak out in North Central Kansas. But Amazon Prime Video membership goes up 20 bucks, not a peep. Dude, that's a hell of a lot higher rate increase. Well, that's an annual subscription. Yeah, I guarantee you don't spend an extra, in some cases you might not even spend 20 extra bucks a year on stamps. Stamps are still a cheap way to mail things, and it's amazing we don't have to pay more for it. But people freak out. Oh, stamps went from 45 to 50 cents. How am I going to live? Well, right, some milk went up $1.50. You should be talking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you should be talking about the groceries, the things that you're going to use more often that go up in price. You know, okay, Amazon Prime Video, whatever it is, 20 bucks, that's an annual subscription. So it's not as big as you might think, but it's still a 20% increase. So people whine about a 4% increase, a 2% increase. There's a 20% increase, and people are okay with it. It's amazing how people find the certain things to complain about. $190 for an app, that's insane. Yet tomorrow, I just went out and spent $300 on four cheese tickets. And good luck with that.
Exactly.
You ain't going to get four cheese tickets for $300. You're going to spend, you're going to be lucky if you can get two cheese
you
tickets
for
$300.
You take your family to a Chiefs game. You're
spending
on a,
$500.
You're coming up on a grand if you want to do it right. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you
minimum
really want to get a good seat, if you want to do the thing,
yes.
Everything you're doing, traveling, parking, everything that's involved in that.
Yes.
If you have a family of, let's say, four.
Yes.
We'll say your family, five.
Yeah, right.
You're coming up on a grand if you want to do it right.
Yes. Yes. Especially if you don't have anybody to stay with in Kansas City. You got a hotel on top of that.
Yeah.
And if you're from Beloit, Kansas, or Downs, Kansas, or Glen Elder, Kansas, you've got the $3.79 per gallon gas.
Yes,
Tyler just texted that to me. He goes, you left out the expense of driving there. That's true. So now we're sitting here, and we were at $160. Let's say you get 30 miles a gallon on your car. To Kansas City is, what, 230 miles or something like that? 460 miles round trip.
Yeah.
Okay? 460 miles. You get 30 miles a gallon, so that's going to be about, if you're lucky, 15 gallons times, just round it up, $4 a gallon, there's another $60. Now we're at $220 to go to one Royals game, and that's the cheapest tickets you pretty much can find. That's only having one beer. That's having one combo meal to share, and each kid gets a Dippin' Dot. And you get two pops. Their people are going to go way above that. They're going to get four. They're going to get pizzas for $10 for every person in the family. The dad and mom are each going to have two beers. They might get the $15 margarita in a cocktail glass, whatever the heck it is that they've got. They got mixed drinks now at Kauffman Stadium. And I'm just talking about a Royals game. Chiefs game, quadruple the cost.
Yeah.
The Royals are actually a cheap entertainment option. By the way, Sporting KC is a cheaper option as well. But guess what? It doesn't cost you to park. At Sporting KC games, the tickets aren't as expensive, although the cheapest I got were $40 a piece. So for a family of four, there's $160 for Sporting KC. And their beers are still $10, $11, $12 a pop.
Yeah.
The pizzas are $10. It's not much cheaper to go to a Sporting KC game when it comes to the actual concessions. Okay? So we freak out about $190 or $20 a month. And I immediately look at it and go, well, I don't think it's worth that. But honestly, if you start breaking it down, you know, that's $1.50 a game.
Well, actually, I have it on my phone right now because I divided that, right? So if you only want to watch the Royals, you're not going to pay the $190 package for the whole year, right? I'm going to pay the $19.99 for 6 months,
right,
which is going to be $119.94. So it's $120.
Okay.
That they did take four more games away from their schedule. They're supposed to have 161.
Okay.
There's always one that's not on the schedule every year for some reason. But they took four more away, so I'm putting it at 157 games.
Okay.
Divided by 119.94, you're paying 76 cents a game to watch the Royals.
Which is
that's what it comes down to.
Which is just about a quarter more than a stamp.
Yeah.
Yes. So, once again, people will say...
And it's way less than your daily drink wherever you go get that.
Now, I just want everybody to know we are not paid by Bally to promote that product. And I, honestly, when I first say it, I see it, I'm like, well, I'm used... Here's the key to this whole equation, though, when people complain. And we said about it yesterday a little bit. The reason people complain about subscriber cost, the reason people complain about price increases is they're used to what it was. They're used to it being free. They're used to it being cheaper. I was used to $2.60 gas. Now I'm pissed it's $3.75. I'm used to stamps being 40 cents back in the day, and now they're 50 or 55. I remember the day when stamps were 25 cents. Well, that was a long time ago. All right? Things change, just like the wrinkles that develop on your face when you get older, like Nev Campbell and Skeet Ulrich and Jamie Kennedy and Dusty and Jason
and Dusty Dinus, too.
And the thinning of hair. Okay, so things change, and it is all about what you value. It's as simple as that. If you can complain all you want about subscriber fees, but if you value it, you will pay it. You will. You will pay it. Is there ways to save a little bit by only getting one beer at the game or getting no beers at the game? Is there a way to park and get half-price parking like I do and walk a little further to Arrowhead so I don't pay $40, instead I pay $20 and save myself $20 so I can go buy a beer and a half? Yes, that's a way of doing it too. There's ways to save some money in different situations, but at the end of the day, you know, it's funny. If you spend $150 on a satellite provider, if you spend $100 on a cable provider, if you spend $75 on Sling or Hulu, do you actually keep track of how much TV you watch? Because what you might find out is, And I know this is true of me. I've been thinking about it lately. I don't even know why I have TV. Like, I can watch movies on my TV. I have an Amazon membership. They've got TV shows. I don't have to watch anything. I don't watch anything on TV right now other than the NBA playoffs right now. I'm not hardly watching TV. And I'm not able to watch the Royals all their games. I'm not. So I could easily save myself $7,500 a month and dump it. Now, other family members might watch a little bit more than I do. But are people up in arms about, oh, I've been keeping track of my TV usage, and man, am I wasting a lot of money?
Yeah.
You know, my water bill went up. Well, you know, it is what it is. Well, yeah, maybe I need to cut down on how long the showers are so I can afford a Bally Sports app subscription.
I would guess every household in America is not
efficient
with their TV watching based on what they pay
Absolutely.
To have the service, right?
Yes.
And listen, I came really, really close probably 5 to 10 years ago. I can't remember when it was. It's in that time period of just kind of dropping cable because I didn't have a DVR yet, right?
Sure.
But I was watching some TV shows, but then I would not get them or, you know, whatever, and then I'd have to go watch them online the next day on whatever channel it was, right? And so I'm like, why am I paying for this if I'm not using it? But then I got a DVR, and it's like, well, it makes sense now, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
If I can't watch it now, I can watch it later. And it was worth spending the extra $15 to have the DVR at that point.
Right.
And so I was like, it's either cut it and not spend any of that money or spend a little extra so I make sure I can actually watch it. And I found out that that worked in my favor because I do watch quite a bit of TV, you know, a lot of comedies, sitcoms that are on CBS and NBC and things like that. And so, and now at this point, I don't want to get rid of it because of that, right? And I've got all kinds of room to record with the new system I have, and you don't really miss anything but that you really want to watch. But there's, as far as live TV, I hardly watch live TV at all unless it's a sporting event.
Yeah.
You know, I'll wait. Even if I can watch my show when it's live, I'll wait. And wait until it's on there. I'll do something, watch something on my phone or something until I can skip through the rest of the commercials because it's on my DVR, right? And I can speed right through a sitcom in 15 minutes that I have on my DVR. So as far as actual live sports, about the only thing I'm doing. And so there is a large amount of money being spent that's just going nowhere because you're not using it.
Isn't society a very interesting animal to dissect? I mean, our society, it just in general, in our country, and it happens, you can put a bubble here in north central Kansas, you can put a bubble in south central Nebraska, you can put it in northwest Kansas, you can put it in the Midwest, you can put it in Texas, wherever you want to put it. But it is interesting. My wife she says a lot of times, she goes, I like sometimes just not saying a word and watching people. She's a people watcher sometimes. You go to an airport, just sit down and watch people. It's very interesting. It's sometimes disturbing, but it's very interesting. And so it is interesting to me when people, and trust me, I'm very good at complaining too. So I'm a hypocrite when I say this, but it is very interesting when people complain about things, and especially when they talk about cost. And so when you talk about the subscriber fees, which once again, I understand the angst of it, but let me give you another example. Why aren't you really mad at you and your family for not keeping track of the free trials that you get, and then you forget to cancel at the end of the 30 days, and then you don't check your credit card statement or your checking account because you're not on top of it, which is your fault, nobody else's fault. And maybe other people in your family are adding things you're not aware of, but you're the kind of the financial accountant of the family, but you're not really paying attention as closely as you should. And then all of a sudden you realize 4 months after the fact, we've been paying $7 a month for a service that we don't even use because I forgot to cancel at the end of the trial period. Well, you start adding it up. If it's $6.99, for instance, ESPN Plus, let's use that as an example. So I put a note in my phone that at the end of college basketball season, I cancel ESPN Plus. The reason I have ESPN Plus is to watch college football, KU, K-State, sometimes our games on ESPN Plus, and basketball. That's about all I watch on ESPN Plus. Every once in a while, some documentaries, this and that, which is nice to have, but that's not the reason I get it. So I spend $6.99 a month for basically 6 months, something like that, right? At the end of the 6 months, I put a note in my phone that alerts me that I'm going to cancel Stop, which I can. It's not a yearly subscription to ESPN Plus. It's monthly. And I go ahead and I stop it. Okay? How many people out there that are complaining and whining about paying $19.99 a month have $20 a month in waste of things that they're paying for they don't even know they're paying for because they weren't organized enough to cancel at the end of the trial period? I'll tell you one. Amazon tried to sneak one by me one time. Nobody in my family signed up for this, but I check my credit card statements or my checking account, and I look and I see a charge for this thing called, it was some channel. It's called Royalty Channel. Royalty Channel. Now, you guys are going to laugh at this because you know how badly I don't like royalty, okay? But somehow we got started up on this royalty channel. We never signed up for a free trial, but maybe it's something else we did, and somehow it activated a free trial. We didn't even know about it. But I pay attention to the credit card statements and the checking account statements, and I look, and I see that we're charged like $5.99 for something I've never heard of. I asked the family, hey, did you guys subscribe to Royalty Channel? And they're like, no. And then I look and I find out that somehow we were activated and there was some trial period. It was a new channel added to the whatever. Mm-hmm. And we got charged $5.99 and I missed it for 1 month. So it cost me $6. And then I went through the process, looked it up on Google. How can I cancel? And I found out how to cancel. Now, if somebody doesn't check that closely, which let's be honest, some of us have hundreds of transactions a month on our credit card. And you do that for a year, you just wasted $70 and you're complaining about $19.99 a month. So sometimes we sit here and we criticize these companies for milking us and subscriber fees and costing us. And sometimes you got to look in the mirror and go, well, you wasted a lot of money yourself.
Yeah.
If you would, you know, not be so wasteful yourself, maybe instead of letting your two kids drive two separate cars to school every day, maybe you should have your kids who live in the same house carpool every day, and one can take turns driving. Wouldn't that save money? Now, maybe the kids are independently paying for the gas, and they don't like each other, the brothers or sisters, yeah, and they don't want to ride to school together. Well, if it's on their dime, that's their decision. But there are people that they'll take two separate vehicles and go to Concordia 10 minutes apart. Or they'll go to Salina, one will go down, and it could easily reorganize the schedule to where they could have taken one car instead of two. And those same people, I guarantee, are going, $19.99 a month? That's blasphemy. You just spent $82 on gas with two vehicles when you only could have had to take one if you could have waited an hour to go to Salina. Isn't it funny how we are as society?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we've talked about that. I don't know about on the air, but I definitely have talked with you about it off the air. Like, I'll go out and you go out to eat at an establishment, say, yes, and you spend $10. This is just an average price. Well, sure. You spend $10 on a burger and fries, right?
Right.
But you're walking through the grocery store. Man, ground beef is kind of high right now. You just spent $10 for a burger, and it's $3.49 a pound. You could make right. four burgers.
I could have 4 pound burgers for the price of one.
Yeah, you could have. Yeah, you could have like eight at least. Quarter pound burgers,
yeah,
and 10 mm-hmm. for what you spend on one at the rent. I know you get fries and stuff, right. But I do it all the time. Yeah. I'm walking through the grocery store. I'm like, man, that price is ridiculous. And then an hour earlier, I was at Sonic getting a large shake or something, you know,
right.
I'm paying for that, but I don't want to pay for the ice cream price in the store, right? Like, there's just so many things that are in your mind, and I'm like, why do we do that? Like, because I'm using myself as an example because I feel like we're all guilty of that,
sure.
right?
I'm guilty of I'm craving
complaining
a shake.
About
I could
something
go to the store and get a gallon of ice cream for the same price as go get a shake.
Yeah, you pay a lot for convenience.
That's 100% it. Exactly, you're paying for convenience. Sure. It's right there. It's ready for you. You know, you don't have to make it yourself. It's there. Mm-hmm. That's why I think Papa Murphy's pizza is the biggest scam in the world. Might be good pizza, but you're telling me I
don't
have to make it after I buy it? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, I think it's just wild, and it's even in your own life that you mm-hmm. think, like, what am I doing? Like, why am I complaining about this mm-hmm. when it's right there? It's way cheaper than what I just spent something on.
Right.
Just for convenience.
Right. Well, I've said it before. People that talk about the high gas prices, it makes me laugh, especially some of the people I see that I know complaining about it. I'm like, dear Lord, you more than can afford it. You got bigger fish to fry,
yeah.
but you're whining about that. And they whine about it. And then I just went to Indianapolis, and I'm going to tell you something. There was no shortage of cars, and they weren't all Teslas, and they weren't all hybrids. They all weren't all Ford Focuses, all right, or Chevy Cruises. They were SUVs, big pickup trucks, big trucks, semis, of course, you got to have. I get that. And I went to the gas station to get gas, and I was at a Quick Trip, and they had 30 pumps, and I had to wait to get gas. So obviously the country is really unified against high gas prices to where they have stopped consuming, right? And we've sent a message to the country that we're not going to take these high gas prices, right? No, of course not. We just bitch and moan and complain on Facebook to make ourselves feel better and then do nothing to change anything and then go and then complain while you're at the pump about how much you're paying. But you actually, probably most situations, you're not cutting back on how often you drive, but you sure increase your complaining output. I find that interesting because I really don't feel that sorry for you, honestly, if you keep doing what you're doing when you don't have to do it. I know if you're a trucker, you don't have a choice, all right? I know as a farmer, you've got implements that eat up a ton of diesel. I get that. People, I had that on social media one time, and people totally misconstrued what I was saying. And it's like, dear Lord, do I have to spell it out for you? I'm talking about people, when you go traveling down the interstate, they're... If people were really against high gas prices and it was really hurting, and it does hurt people, don't get me wrong, it hurts people.
Oh, yeah.
But if it was hurting so many Americans and everything else, why aren't the roads wide open for me to drive? Why aren't there lots of pumps available when I stop to get gas? So perhaps it's just we scream to scream, but we don't carry through. So when that goes back to tie into the story, when you scream and scream about subscriber fees, but then you keep subscribing, you're just talking.
Yeah.
You're just talking and blabbing, but you're not doing anything about it. So you're part of the problem, and you're the one complaining about it, and yet you're part of it. It starts with you. Look in the mirror, and if you can honestly say, in 1994, when I swore off baseball, and 28 years later, you still haven't gone to a Major League Baseball game or watched on TV, then you know what? Good for you. You stood by your convictions. But if you've gone to one baseball game since 1994 or watched one on TV since 1994 and you swore off baseball, you're a complete and utter hypocrite. You are. Yep. You said no more baseball. I'm fed up. I can't take it anymore. All right, let's shift here. Wichita State's looking for a new athletic director. On Wednesday, the university fired Darren Boatwright, who has been the head of the department since 2016. President Rick Mumma said in a press release, while there were certainly achievements and successes during Darren's tenure, there were significant ongoing concerns that became acute in recent weeks. Acute, what a great word that is. Ones that I did not believe could be addressed. Boatwright had been under fire from fans since February after it was revealed that he had signed a secret contract extension in October of 2020 when fans felt the athletic department was strained enough financially due to the coronavirus pandemic. Boatwright also came under scrutiny for the way he handled the new NIL process and for a lack of transparency during the time Greg Marshall's tenure ended as a basketball coach. Boatwright will be replaced in the interim by Sarah Adams, who was hired last summer as the senior associate athletic director, and there will be a national search for the new AD. It's interesting. I've seen different people that cover Wichita State athletics on Twitter. Many of them are like, "About time." And then Bob Lutz, that shouldn't have done that. No, it was time. Trust me. I know people in the know. It was more than time for Boatwright to go. All right. The NBA playoffs continuing last night. And this guy that's just a good point guard.
Ball around Bullock and jumps it in with a great fake. A deceptive move. 23 for Paul. Sets up over Doncic. 25, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, who I believe turns 37 sometime this week. I have to look that up, but I think they said last week he was going to turn 37 this week. The ageless wonder, 28 points last night, 14 in the fourth quarter during crunch time. Suns pull away and win game two against the Mavs, 129-109. Paul also had 8 assists and 6 rebounds. Devin Booker led the way with 30 for Phoenix. They're up 2-0, so they're back to normal. Now that Booker's back and healthy, apparently. Luka just needs more help, and I think we say it every year in the playoffs with Luka. He needs more help, and he does. 35 last night, but not nearly enough. Suns win by 20. They're up 2-0 in at best of 7. He'll shift to Dallas for Game 3. The Heat beat the Sixers, who, once again, without Joel Embiid, 119-103. Bam Adebayo with 23 points. Jimmy Butler, 22 points, 12 assists. Tyrone Maxey with 34 in the loss for Philly, as the Heat now hold a 2-0 edge in that series. And once again, James Harden, supposed to be a superstar, right? Yeah, that guy is a declining player. There's no doubt about it. Or he just simply doesn't care as much. I don't know. Probably a combination of all. The NBA playoffs take a break tonight as both the series from last night will have Game 3 action coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Chris Paul is 37.
Tomorrow is 37. Yep. Not bad for an average point guard.
Yeah. I think he took this personal.
What's that?
He took the slight
Ever since Todd North said Central that Chris Kansas, Paul, yes.
North Central Kansas slight, they're personal.
You know,
he did.
I'm glad you brought this up, Jason, because I had a person that used to work for the Phoenix Suns organization, believe it or not. Now, he doesn't work there anymore. He's now with the Las Vegas Raiders, and I don't talk to him. He's dead to me now because I'm a Chiefs fan. But anywho, I have Chris Paul's number, and I texted him about this person in the insurance industry who I still think he's just sore because Chris Paul promotes a different company. And I showed him that. I forwarded it to him. And ever since that happened, the guy has been unbelievable since. So, oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm getting a text. Oh, Chris is listening today. Chris says, thank your friend Todd for firing me up even more and tell him he owes me a piece of birthday cake now that I'm turning 37 tomorrow. So there you have it. Chris Paul, the average to good point guard, lighting it up last night and once again getting it done in crunch time in the fourth quarter. Todd, we love you. We're just messing with you.
Yes, for sure.
We all have our bad takes. We just have to admit them. I had a bad take. I said the Bulls were going to beat the Bucks once the Bucks lost Chris Middleton, and the Bucks then blew out the Bulls in three straight games. So we have bad takes.
There are bad takes, and then there are things that defy the odds that make your takes look even worse, right? Like,
yes.
I think we all felt that way about Middleton, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know that we all felt the Bulls were going to win, but right. It's like, but then they just turn around and just
destroyed them.
Three games in a row, just not a chance for the Bulls in any of the games.
I remember one time I said, I think Wisconsin, I don't know, it was Wisconsin, Alabama. It was somebody from the Big Ten was playing Alabama in a playoff game.
It was Michigan State, wasn't it?
Might have been. And I said, listen, Michigan State's got type of ball control, and they run the ball, they're physical, and they're going to give Alabama a pretty decent game. And Alabama won like 47-0.
Yeah.
So we all have our bad takes, we have our good takes. So Todd, you know, the only bad thing for Todd is we're on every day, so we can keep having fun with it. Todd's like, when's I going to get IR time to talk about your bad takes?
Yeah.
During high school football, you'll get your shots in. NHL playoffs continue to heat up. If you're into hockey,
across to Zuccarello. Zuccarello waiting. In the middle, Erickson at the tip. Kaprizov hit the post. They score.
Minnesota Wild even their first round series of the Blues, won a 6-2 win last night in Minnesota. Oilers scored three goals in the second and third periods. They roll over the Kings 6-0 to tie that series at 1-1. Hurricanes win 5-2 over the Bruins. They're up 2-0 in their series. And the Lightning won game 2 over the Maple Leafs to even that series at 1-1. Lightning a two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. Four more first-round Game 2s tonight. In the East, the Penguins are up 1-0 against the Rangers. Game 2 at 6 o'clock in New York. 6:30 tonight in Florida, it's the Panthers against the Capitals. Capitals up 1-0. In the West, the Colorado Avalanche with a big win in Game 1, 7-2. They have a 1-0 lead over the Predators. Game 2 tonight in Denver at 8:30. And the Flames will take on the Stars in Calgary at 9 o'clock in Game 2. The Flames lead that series 1-0. And we end the show the way we started it, talking about Dusty's vacation. Dusty met Skeet Ulrich. And John tells me that Skeet was in Weekend at Bernie's, as we've established and proven, and he is correct. He says it was a scene next to the pool, basically an extra, but yet had a pulse compared to Bernie. there you have it. Skeet Ulrich, it looks like it was his first movie role. Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah.
It was Weekend at Bernie's in 1989.
It have to be that early.
He was an extra, apparently. So there you have it. Good news. So you're telling me that Skeet, Jamie, and Niamh have all aged a little bit.
Jamie was looking a little rough, to be completely honest with you. But
you're telling me celebrities are human beings that age like all of us?
Yeah, that's what's funny is like I was in line and that Saturday, and they're like, all them Scream people look old now, some lady says in front of me. I'm like, well, I'm sure you don't look the same as you did
when
in 1996 either.
Right.
Like, we all look different. I was very, very young. I was definitely not looking old at all in 1996.
It's funny you say that. I got to thinking the other day about how long it's been since I graduated high school, which Scream came out what year?
96.
Okay, I graduated in 94, so I remember Scream came out in college. But I graduated in 94, so that is 28 years. So my 30th reunion is in 2 years, and I'm probably not going to go to it. And it's funny, like, I've seen some pictures every once in a blue moon of a classmate of mine that happens to pop up on Facebook, and I look, and my first reaction is, wow, they've aged, or they look a lot different. And I think of myself as, I haven't changed a lot. And then I looked in the mirror the other day, I'm like, damn, I'm just like them. Son of a gun, I thought I was rare.
Yeah. I saw a good tweet the other day. It was, man, I saw an old person walking down the street. Then I realized I went to high school with them, and I'm like, yep, that's... it's about how it goes. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say I saw my own reflection. Oh,
yeah, no, that's what no. I thought I was going to. Yeah.
That's how I thought you were going with
my own
that.
Reflection in the window. Yeah. No. Yeah.
I look at this old person, but they went to high school with me. I'm like, yeah, I know. Because we had that one person that just aged, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh.
But see, that's your reaction when you see people at a reunion or maybe on Facebook or social media that pops up. And your first reaction is, oh, that person's really changed or they've aged. And that's your first reaction. And yet, imagine what people think when they look at you.
I know.
Yeah. They probably think the same thing. Wow, Dusty and Wade and Jason. Oh, man. Those guys let themselves go.
Radio's a rough business.
Radio's a rough business. Well, obviously, they have faces for radio. Man, those guys don't have a lot of hair on the top of their head anymore. It's called parenting. Well, not for Dusty. I don't know what your excuse is, but mine is kids. I can easily make an excuse it's the kids why I lose my hair.
I blame the Saufelds.
Perfect.
That's
family genes.
That's what mine is.
Well done. Jason's?
I have the hair. It's just turning colors.
Being a Cubs fan, that's why that happens.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.